you're welcome back. Shit. Welcome back to another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. Let's go. I'm your host, Tyler Webster, joined as always by my co-host, Danielle Lorenz.
Hello.
All right. Super glad to be here and to be talking to you fine fellas and fellettes and the everybody's in between. Fellettes.
That sounds like a weird, like, fellatio weird
thing. Oh, no, I was thinking like, about the cut of steak. But, like, a fillet? Yeah, fillet. Anyway, how are you guys doing? No, cool. We'll just dive right into it. The topic for today is pretty cool, right? We talked about the sickness, the fucking awesome badassery of committing crimes as an adult. And now we're going to go in from the really, really cool, kind of suave, almost James Bond-esque, Mission Impossible kind of vibes to video games. And
why'd you change your voice? The video game.
The video game. We're going to do a video game podcast. Because I think I put video games in the hat. And I was like, we're going to follow crime for that? So we're going to come with the fucking... So stay tuned, because we're going to come with the heat.
You missed such an opportunity to open the podcast with, what's up, gamers? And make it, like, super cringe.
Restart the episode.
Nope, too late.
What's up, gamers? What's going on? My name's Tyler, fucking known as... Xmas 42069 on the...
Stay with it.
Yeah. Dude. Something that has nothing to do with video games.
Great.
I was in the kitchen hanging out, as one does in the kitchen.
As one does.
My roommate Candace comes in, and we were joking about that meme that I saw about Boney Soprano. Where it's like the Tony Soprano's long lost brother Boney Soprano, and it's just a skeleton with a fedora, and he's like, "Where's the Gaba Ghoul?" Classic meme, very funny. And we were talking about that, and we kept making these jokes of like this like Brooklyn accented skeleton making a bunch of like skeleton puns, and we were throwing puns back and forth, rapid fire. You know what I mean? You know, like, what's a skeleton's favorite food? Spare ribs. Oh, okay. You know what happened to the skeleton when he had no friends? He felt bonely, right? And we were one-upping each other, and then Candace was just like, what happened when the skeleton had one leg? He only had a leg to stand on. And you could tell she's just vamping. So I was just like, I'll do you one better. I couldn't even get the joke out. It was so fucking stupid. I was like, I'll do you one better. What's a fucking skeleton made out of? She's like, what? And I'm like, bones.
I'm so proud of
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely no one finds that as funny as I did, but I was inconsolable. It was so fucking funny that it was such a bad joke, and it had so much enthusiasm and earnest charisma. Like, oh yeah, oh yeah, what's a skeleton made out of? Bones. You alright?
I just have to turn the volume off of my computer. Mm. That was just a little notification sound.
I got you. Speaking of bones.
I'm so happy for you.
Speaking of bones, what are video games?
Video games are something I have never been able to be good at past Mario Kart. Very good at Mario Kart back when I was in, like, middle and high school. And I was very good at Guitar Hero growing up, basically always. Aside from that, I'm ass.
Let's go ass at video games. So I have a question because I have a bit of a theory. Okay. Regarding video games, do you consider yourself depressed?
What are you asking me, Tyler?
It's a yes or no question.
I don't know what you're asking.
Do you see yourself as depressed?
I don't understand the question.
It's a simple question. Do you see yourself as depressed?
What's the country of origin of this word, please?
Will you wear wigs?
When will you wear wigs? Oh my god.
So are we going to take that as a... I mean, nobody who's depressed laughs that happily. So we're going to say no. Now, the reason why I find that interesting is because you don't play video games.
Correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I've solved... Yep, stay yep. with it. I think... pick up. I think I've solved depression.
No, I... Okay. So... So... I really enjoyed, like, just very simple video games growing up. Okay. But if it got more complicated than, like... Mario Kart or Super Smash Bros. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me.
Anything third person is a lot.
Anything.
Or first person.
Anything first person or open world stressed me out.
Why? It's so much fun to just explore and wander around.
I don't know what it is. I want to enjoy it, but I get really stressed when I'm not. In video games, I want to be railroaded. I want structure to the point of, I can't fuck this up.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just miss this giant thing that has to happen before I can move on.
Yeah.
Because it's not possible. It's written into the game to where I can't.
Bro.
And open world games, like, fucking first game to do that to me. It's, like, the least open world game, in my opinion. And I feel like you might agree with me if you've played it. Did you play Tide the Tasmanian Tiger?
Holy fucking shit. Like, a bajillion years ago.
Okay. So you know how it's, like, kind of open world?
I remember the name. I don't remember anything.
Well, it's
that.
One of those, like, not quite first person, because you're over the head of, like, your character.
Yeah, so third person limited.
So third, yes, that. And, yeah, that definition that I totally knew. And,
Well, just, you know.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like that, and it's kind of open world. Like, once you move on to a new, like, part of the game, you can't go back to others, so it's, like, kind of open world.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I got stuck, and I couldn't get past, and I got stuck at the same place every time I would play, and couldn't figure it out, where I was like, I've gone everywhere, I've done everything, but you're not letting me get through the damn waterfall, and I can't get through it, and that's why, like, every time I've tried to do open world or anything like that, I end up giving up, because I'm just like, you know, I started playing The Last of Us, I started playing it.
Yeah.
I got sick of it because I was like, this isn't enough structure. I don't like just wandering around and hoping. I feel like I'm going to miss things. I feel like I'm missing everything. Oh, I magically made it into the next cutscene? Poor fuck. Okay. And, like, it's so, like, jarring and difficult for me that I'm just like, I need to be structured. Or, if I'm going to play an open world game, I need someone at my shoulder who has played the game before.
Telling you where to go.
Who can say what, like, who can just literally just tell me where to go. Because, like, I know that they're fun, but I need structure. I don't like that unless it's a game like Animal Crossing, where there is no end.
There's only
point.
But so many things.
It's
that,
just
yeah.
fuck around and do what you
fuck
want,
around
and that's
and
it.
Find out.
Fuck around and find out how many peaches you can get off the tree. And
Animal Crossing, the sequel to New Horizons is Animal Crossing. Fuck around and find out.
Title of the episode. No, but
I would love that. I think that'd be a lot of fun to.
Well, and I've wanted
to
do that
show
for forever.
You, like, some of the best open world games where I'm just like hanging back and being like, okay, let me show you why this, in my opinion, is the great. Because, like, I
and show me, like, you know, if there's a cool side quest, tell me how to get there, because I am not video game smart in any semblance of any way. Mm-hmm. Like, not even with just the controls. Like, I have good hand-eye coordination, but when it comes to, like, actual physical things, not when it comes to this button does this, and in combination with this, it does this. Oh my god, never in a million years. But, like, yeah, I just, that's my big problem, is that in open world games, I get really bored and frustrated really fast, because if I don't immediately get to the next step of the game, I don't want to explore the whole, I don't want to look at all the forests they designed.
Yeah.
Just to find the one thing in the forest that I need to find. Take me to the thing. Just take me there. I don't want to explore. I don't want it.
So, my favorite video game of all time is a little game, little indie game called Skyrim. It's one of the biggest games of all time. And I shamelessly and unapologetically am absolutely just in love. It is the greatest video game of all time, in my opinion. Riddled with faults, I don't care or acknowledge any of them, right? It's perfect. It's so fucking perfect. It's D&D, as close to D&D as you can get in a first person or third person, if you want, action RPG setting. And it's this big ass world. They drop you in the middle of it. They say dragons are a problem. You're the only one that can do anything about it. But you know what? It is what it is. What do you want to do? You want to be an assassin? You want to be a fucking thief? You want to be a fucking mage? You want to be a fucking fighter? You want to be fucking anything you want? Anything you want. Anything. And it's fucking there. And it's so cool. And there are so many different builds. And I've played it and beaten it with probably every possible combination of builds you could possibly do. And it's just amazing. And so I have played that game inside and out like a fucking bajillion times. Because I got it on release, and it released like fucking over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I played it religiously for probably 5 years straight. And then after that 5 year mark, I would play it in short bursts every once in a while. And it's always my like big, sad, rainy day. You don't have anything going on, which never happens. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to play in Skyrim for a little bit. And it's just peace and joy to the world.
Well, and there's an open world game that Jerry really loves that I tried to play one time. And, well, okay. I played it pretty successfully.
What is it called? Is it the Okami game?
Yeah, it's Okami. Oh, okay. And I really, like, the animation is really cool.
Yeah.
And... you know, I love the art style. It's a cool story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm into it. I get to play as just a big old wolf. That's pretty cool. I like that.
I like wolves.
And it's also interesting. It's frustrating because of this too, but it's interesting because it was made, I think, for the Wii. And so it has the whole, like, you actually have to use the controller because a big part of any magic or attacks that you throw is you have to draw a sigil. And so you have to physically do it. Now, it would be cool, and it is cool. Like, in the fighting, I actually really enjoyed it, and I was pretty good at it, and that was cool. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Here's where it's not awesome. I had to stop at one point because I got so angry because there was this, essentially, almost like a time trial. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you have to really, really fast make these four sigils. And you can't fuck it up because if you do, you go back to the beginning.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was getting it perfect, but it was saying I was doing it wrong. Like, literally, I was in the line perfectly. And it was like, nope, back to the beginning. And I did that for about an hour, and then I was ready to kill myself. So I just called Jerry down and was like, beat this. And he beat it in like 2 seconds. Yeah. And I was like, okay, great. But then I was so angry that I just didn't want to play anymore, and I haven't picked it up since. But
God.
But that was the one open world game where that I was like actually enjoying.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. It's also, when I say it's open world, at least the part that I was playing, it was mostly flatlands, so I could pretty much see everything I needed to get to. Whereas if it's like woods or something where everything is super dense and like you have to really explore to find shit, I get frustrated. But in that game, it was easy because I was just like, oh, I can see everything I need to get to, and the map even shows me like a little star at the place where I need to go, and I'm like, this is so nice, like a nice little like leading me to water kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it ugh,
no, but frustrates me. That's supposed to be the fun part. is because I mean, different people get different things out of games. I've met people who are like aggressively like, dude, you gotta miss me with the open world, put me on rails and just slap me on the ass and tell me have a good time, right? For me, and a lot of times, like, you know, like with Skyrim just being kind of that center point, because I used to play a lot of video games growing up. I play less and less as the days go by, just because of how fucking unbelievably busy we are. And so, like, all my open world games, I just don't find myself playing a whole lot of, because that's an investment, and it's like D&D. No one picks up D&D for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's like a sit down, get comfy, you know, take a hit, and just boom, we're gonna be high, and we're gonna be on the couch for 5 hours, right? And it's just right, because Skyrim is like the most beautiful game of ever. It's aggressively not, but when you like just walking around and you hear the beautiful music and like the fucking butterflies and you're in the woods and you don't know where you are, and it's just, you're just wandering around. The way the game is set up is it'll hit you with random encounters. Like, the game's constantly rolling behind the DM screen as to like what you're going to bump into. So you'll either bump into, you know, some random guy who runs up to you and he's just like, hey, take this fucking bow. I stole it. And if you double cross me, I will fucking kill you. And then he runs off. You're like, what the fuck? And then somebody else runs up and is like, hey, did somebody fucking give you a, like, does somebody run across here with a bow? And you have the bow. And you're just like, you have two options. You could be like, no. Or you could be like, yeah, here's your fucking bow back. And he's just like, cool, I'm going to go run him down. And then you can intervene or just not. And you could just, yeah, okay, cool, thanks. And if you say thanks and just like, yeah, no, didn't see him, don't even know about a bow, You can just walk away with the bow, and then the guy can come back and find you and be like, give me the fucking bow back, and then you have to either fight him or give it to him. You know what I mean? It's like all these different routes of things that can happen in one little bit. Or maybe you're walking around and like, in the woods, and you just see this like tucked away shrine under some brush, and there was like a fucking skeleton of a guy like praying with a journal, and the journal's just like, you know, hey, I'm trying to fucking desecrate this altar for the Dark Lord. And you're like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. And then three skeletons, bony Sopranos, pop up behind you, and they're just like, oh shit, it's the skeletons. That's bad, right? And then you have to fight him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit, because the Dark Lord and the desecration, yes. I see what happened. It's like that nonverbal storytelling. It's like, that's fun. I like that. It's fun. You know, fun. She was just making a face, and I'm just trying to get a reaction.
No, I've said this before. I want to be the person that can enjoy that, but I have absolutely no fucking patience. If you put that in front of me and you're like, spend a nice 30 minutes wandering around the woods until you find the thing you're supposed to find, I'll smack you in the mouth until you point me where I need to go, motherfucker.
But that's the thing. You don't have to just wander around in the woods. You can just go from objective to objective, just doing the shit that they tell you to. And if you're... like, let's say you're walking on the road. You're walking on the path. There is a actual cobblestone path, and there's a marker that says, go that way. And you're like, okay, I'm going that way. So you start going, and next thing you know, there's a giant fucking bridge, and there's a bunch of bandits that have walled off the road. And they're just like, your options are pay us a shit ton of money, or we kill you, or you turn back. And you're just like... perhaps you're like cracking your knuckles, you're like, perhaps you don't know who I am. Shwing! And then of course you start fighting the bandits, and it's super fun. And one of the bandits gets away, they start running into the woods, and you're just like, no running from me, thank you. You pull out your bow and you fucking gun him down, and he's dead, right? And you're like, all right, all in a day's work. But you're in the middle of the woods and you're just like, what's that? And then you get distracted and you go over there, and then it rewards you for that kind of like, oh shit, what's that? And then you go and look at it.
Well, and if it's stuff like that, if it's stuff that's just there and it's close.
It's just there.
Like, and because that's the thing, is when people are like, ooh, but you should go look at this thing. And I'm like, what thing? And it's like, oh, it's way off the beaten path. Like, go way over there. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Can I just keep doing what I'm doing? Like, why do I have to go 5 minutes this direction to go find this one cool thing that's going to give me, what, like, you know, a few coins and then get back on? What the fuck? Like, just let me get on about my day. I am very just, like, frustrated by the concept of, like, specifically really big open world. If it's something like Okami where it's, like, you know, it tells you, okay, your next step is to go to this place and talk to this man and figure out the thing about this.
That's what most open worlds should be.
And what I need is, because I'm dumb, and I have no sense... When I say I don't have a sense of direction, in video games, it's about 5 billion times worse. Like, you put me in there, and it's like, you don't remember how to get back? And I'm like, no, bro.
I don't remember how I got here.
Like, I don't remember how to get to, like, most places. I couldn't get most places without my GPS.
I have...
Like, you think I can learn another world? I haven't even learned this one.
I will say, I think a game that you would really fuck with, I've long said, I really think you'd appreciate Pokemon. I feel like that would be your game if
you got
into it.
I've played Pokemon. I think it's fun.
Yeah. I feel like you would, I think you would rock with that one.
I mean, granted, I was just playing, I played something on Game Boy when I was a kid, and I don't remember what game it was, but it was a Pokemon game. I didn't play it a ton, but just whenever Jerry would leave it in the game, because, like, we all shared the Game Boy until we got DSs.
Yeah.
And so, like, if he left it in there, I'd just be like, yeah, I'll just play this. And then I played Mystery Dungeon a little bit. And by that, I mean, with my ex, he would bring it all the time, and, like, and he would just, like, leave his Game Boy out, and he would, like, go to do something, and I'd be like,
I'm gonna hit that.
And I would just pick it up, and like, I had my own game saved, but, like, I wouldn't even do anything insane. I would just, well, no, that's a lie. I did play on his game, but I did it in the way that's, like, it's just going and, like, doing little fighting things.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, actually furthering.
Affecting the story.
It's not affecting
the
story.
Yeah,
it's
just
going in and fighting things, and I would just do that until he was like, okay. And, like, closed it. But so that's, like, all I've done with Pokemon.
There's a concept for a stream that I wanted to do. Similar to Forced Comedy, it's actually something that I was considering. after we finished Undertale, which we need to do. Even if we don't stream it, I just want you guys to see the ending, because the ending's really fucking incredible.
Okay.
And honestly, where we left off, maybe an hour and a half.
Okay.
Hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and the whole story is done.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. Past that, I really wanted to do another Skyrim playthrough where we stream it, but where it's similar to Forced Comedy, how people are doing the voices, where we're like D&D narrating what's happening on the screen. Because one of the things that that I do that makes Skyrim in particular, and really Skyrim and any kind of open world RPGs, right? You know, Skyrim, Fallout, you know, others that are escaping me, like Breath of the Wild, whatever, right? Those open world RPGs, they're still like dialogue systems, right? Where you're like having conversations with people, but it's very like surface level. Like you're not really getting super, super deep. And so I will imagine in my headcanon conversations with characters, in the world to like further like kind of enrich the plot.
Okay.
Right? So there's so the first hold that you go to in Skyrim is Whiterun. And it's one for one, it's supposed to be Einrolf from my home campaign.
Okay.
One for one, zero changes made. I just picked it up and I put it in my world. And I was like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Okay.
I love fucking Whiterun. It just you always feel safe. You're in Whiterun, you're safe, it's cool, it's good, right? This is home. Because I spent so much of my time in that fucking hold, right? And so it's run by the Jarl, who's basically the Zoras in my home campaign. And the kings, the queens, whatever. And it's run by Jarl Balgruuf. And he is my Zora Halvor, essentially. Big Nordic individual, really friendly, but at the same time will fuck you up if you cross him. And he's just like got big dad energy, and he's just like, listen, man, I don't pretend like I know everything. A lot of crazy shit's happening. I'm just doing my best for my people. And it's like, I can't respect you more if I fucking tried. So that was like, I was just like, I'm gonna run what I know in my D&D game, and I'm just gonna put Einrolf as the starting place for my players, right?
Okay.
So it's a big inspiration for that, and so all this stuff happens with the D&D campaign, whatever. But in my headcanon, whenever I play, I always imagine my character having a more in-depth conversation with Balgruuf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like he's just like, you stopped the dragon, friend. That is good that you were able to accomplish that. And I'm just like, yep, happy to help. And he's like, cool, next mission, right? And then that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's just, he's just like, damn, you just came in here out of nowhere and like, you know, did all this craziness. Isn't that like, that's crazy? It's just like, no, I mean, honestly, I really like the city. I got kidnapped at the border, so I'm looking to find like a new place. And he's just like, oh shit. Well, like, honestly, you've been like hooking us up. We could like help you out. We could get you like a home or whatever. And I'm like, almost RPing this conversation in my head while I'm running around, like, you know, making soul gems or whatever. And so, I'm doing the busy work of, yeah, like upgrading my character. And while I'm doing that, just in my head, I'm imagining my character having like a sit down conversation with Jarl Balgruuf. And that enriches the story, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like when, you know, in the game, when you play one of the quest lines, which is there's a civil war that's going on, right? Between the Imperials and the Stormcloaks. The Stormcloaks are the rebels. The Imperials are obviously the fucking Empire.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it is that it does not tell you who's right and who's wrong, because they both have good points. The Imperials, you think, are bad guys because they're restrictive and they tell you, you know, what gods you have to worship and everything. But they're in the pocket of the Thalmor, which is like this big, super fucking spooky coalition of elves that will wipe you the fuck out, right? They have all the power, they have all the, they're like the fucking Illuminati, they're just everywhere. And so the Empire teamed up with the Thalmor so that the Thalmor doesn't come in and just completely take over Skyrim and kill everybody. So the Empire is like, we're trying to hold them back. And the Stormcloaks are like, fuck you, you don't tell us what to do. And the Empire is like, bro, this freedom thing's cute, but like, you will fucking die. And it's like, well, then if we're going to die, we're going to fucking unga bunga. We're going to go down fighting, buff, like, let's fucking
glorious do it. Glorious purpose.
Kind of. And like, I always side with the Stormcloaks. Fucking, you don't tell me what to do and what gods to pray to, and fuck you, I'm the Dragonborn, bitch. I will fight the entire Thalmor. Suck my dick. And you know what I mean? And so whatever side you align with, you become the fucking champion. It's such a power fantasy. You become the hero of that faction and just lead a charge. And the worst part is, when you pick the Stormcloaks, because you have to go from hold to hold and capture everything to paint the fucking banners with Stormcloak shit, right? And the world responds to it. And Whiterun's the last one that you have to fucking hit up before their home base, like the evil guy's home base or the Empire's home base. And they're just like, now we have to take Whiterun because fucking Balgruuf sided with the Imperials. And you're like, no, fuck, I have to lay siege on my home. And so it was like super emotional. You roll up and it's just you with this big ass sword or fucking magic and spells and shit. And you're just like, all right, let's do this. And the fucking the general is just like, all right, you ready? And you're like, no, but we need to do this. And they just launch the fucking trebuchets and start blowing up the walls. And you're just running in and you're cutting down the guard who was fucking nice and friendly to you. And it's so sad. And you make your way to the Dragon's Reach, which is the big fucking castle that Jarl Balgruuf stays in. And you go in there, and for the first time you see Jarl Balgruuf in a full suit of plate armor, and he is just like, I can't believe it's come to this. And it's just like, oh, Balgruuf, I don't want to do this. And he's just like, I know. And you can talk him down, but obviously that's a fucking miserable end because he wants to fight. He is just like, I accept that if I die, that's the preferred way to go down is fighting, right? I would very much prefer that than like rotting in a prison cell. And so it's just like, why couldn't you just fucking join up with the Stormcloaks? Why couldn't I have talked him into it? But you can't. And so it's like, all right, fight. And then you go in and you start fucking coming to blows with fucking dad. And it's crazy. These fucking games are so cool like that. Because, like, that's the cool thing about RPGs is that you just get so immersed in this fucking fantasy. It's just like D&D. It's just in a video game sense. You know what I mean?
Well, and the problem with that for me is because I have no skill, trying to get immersed in stuff like that is nigh on impossible.
Well, I
because
mean,
all I'm thinking about is how do I not fuck this up so that I don't die 12 times and then win? Or give up and make Russell come and play it because I keep losing. Like, because that's just what, that's what I did growing up, is I would try 20 times, and if I fail 20 times, that 21st time, I'm like, someone else do it. I don't care about the satisfaction of beating it. Someone else come and do it so I can just continue the fucking game. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't want to do it.
Well, what I was kind of alluding to, I went off on a little bit of a tangent. I want to play Skyrim with the squad or with whoever wants to be a part of it and have them to act out that headcanon shit while the game is being played.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I run into Whiterun. I'm like, hey, I killed the dragon, Jarl Balgruuf. Like, isn't that great? He's like, yeah, okay, cool. And then I start, like, the game footage is me, like, doing the minor bullshit, right? Smithing up the swords, fucking crafting the fucking spells, doing all the, you know, doing
no,
all
I
that
shit.
No, I understand
the concept of what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to explain it again. So it's like you roll up to Balgruuf and you guys are, like, role-playing that. I can keep going.
Oh, I know you can. That's why I felt the need to stop you, because I was like, I understand the concept now. I don't need it re-explained again, because you've already fully explained it one time.
What do you think, audience? Should I go through it again?
No, I just, like, I wish that it was something that I, like, could really enjoy and be good at. I just don't know if I can, because every time people try to teach me, they get really frustrated, because I just don't get all of the controls. And in a lot of games, I don't know if you can change the some of the controls, because my brain just goes backwards on certain things. Like in Last of Us, it kept driving me insane, because when I hit the little joystick forward, that's me looking down.
Yeah, because so there's two, right?
And I have plane controls. No. It's what I want to do. It's not what the game does. When I'm actually hit the controller, meaning for me to be looking down, because my brain does airplane mode, where it's like, you push the joystick forward, now I'm looking down, and then you pull up and I'm looking up. And the whole time, it kept doing the opposite, and then I would die. Because I looked the wrong way. And I'm just like, well, fuck me, I guess.
Most games allow that kind of airplane control, like, inverted shit.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I just got so frustrated. That's what made me stop, is because I was just like, I also couldn't figure out how to do this one thing. I was like, what does the game want from me? It is not telling me, and yeah. I'm done. Because it got to this one place, and it was like, you have to put a thing down so we can walk across. And I was like, okay. And I put the thing down, and it was like, gotta put a thing down so we can walk across. And I was like,
I'm trying.
Bro. or it's like, here, follow me, get up here. And I'm like, there's no way. I don't have a tool. I don't have, a little rope that you can catch there. And I hopped up on this thing where I should be able to get up there. It won't let me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, help. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass. And that's honestly just, a practice makes perfect kind of thing. Once you get used to the vibe of playing a video game, you know what I mean? Playing what it is. Once you catch that vibe, you're like, oh, I think I get it. I don't consider myself phenomenal at video games either. Right? I play the stuff that I enjoy playing, right? Recently I've been playing a lot of...
That's why I want Guitar Hero. Because I enjoy that game.
Well, we'll see.
I want that game.
Word on the street is, Anyway.
They tried last year and it was too expensive, so I'm not anticipating that it's going to happen. I'm probably going to end up having to get it for myself.
We'll see. Anyway, all that's to say, I say we'll see. I don't fucking know. I don't know how expensive it is. Is it 500 or something?
I don't know.
That?
Is last year I asked for it, and Samuel tried to get everybody together and was like, hey, can we all pitch in and get this game? And then he looked it up and it was too much for everybody to do. I don't know if that's still the case. I also don't know what game he was looking for specifically, because I'm not all the versions are the ones I want. The knockoff, not even knockoff, sorry. The spin-offs of, specific bands, I'm not interested in. Don't give me those. I want, World Tour. Three is World Tour.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Three is World Tour.
I want Guitar Hero or Guitar Hero? Oh.
I want two, I want three, or I want Rock the 80s. Those are the good ones. I don't want anything else.
I did not
else.
Know that you were,
But I don't need the whole set. I don't want the drum set. I don't want the mic. I just want two guitars so I can play with somebody, at some points.
I did not know that you were such a Guitar Hero fan.
I grew up coming home and playing Guitar Hero every day.
Really?
Not even kidding.
See, I was... Because, I wasn't even... When you were talking about, getting it for your birthday, I was like, well, you don't know that, because I was just like, oh, what's Guitar Hero? I can fucking...
Apparently, older game, and, the ones I want are the older ones, which is 2, 3, and Rock the 80s. Apparently, to get those and the guitars are pretty fucking expensive for specifically, the things that we have. Apparently they're expensive, so I've just kind of given up on that until I buy it for myself. But,
Oh, yeah. Fucking shit.
Yeah, I told you, it's not cheap.
Wow.
They're very expensive.
Wow.
For, good ones, because you can get ass ones
Holy
for pretty cheap,
fucking
but the good
Christ.
Ones are really expensive. And
That's
I grew
a
up,
lot of
I grew
buckets.
Up playing that game all the time, and I was really good at it, to the point where I could play the whole thing of Sweet Child of Mine without looking at the screen and get 100.
Jesus
That's how much
Christ.
I played that game. And I'm so sad that I can't play it now unless I invest, a ridiculous amount of money.
I'm saying 3 is Legends of Rock. You call yourself a fan. Incredible.
Oh, yeah, it is Legends of Rock. Yeah, I guess World Tour is a different one.
Fake fan.
No, because Legends of Rock is the one with Slash and Jimi Hendrix, and
Jesus
you literally, you literally have to play against the devil at one point, and the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is pretty
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, that's so cool. Fucking, dude, fuck, that is expensive.
How expensive is that one? Let me
Christ.
See.
No, this one's off Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And it's about $400, and it's only one guitar.
Yep, that's about right.
That's only one guitar.
That's about right. And that's why, I've just kind of accepted that I'm going to have to buy it for myself.
Oh, World Tour is its own thing. Okay.
Well, yeah. Which World Tour is also pretty good, but Legends of Rock is probably the best one.
Oh, absolutely. We played that game. We played that game a lot. You want to know something awful? is we loaned all of our, because we had Guitar Hero and we had Rock Band with the separate controls.
Rock Band's lame. I don't like Rock Band.
You're fucking lame. Rock Band slapped, dude. Rock Band was fucking
Rock
awesome.
Band just annoyed me. It was, it like, because, well, but it annoyed me because I had always done Guitar Hero. And so then switching to Rock Band, I was like, all of this looks weird. Like, it plays the same. It looks weird. I don't like it. So, like,
Rock Band is my fucking jam. Because Guitar Hero, like, especially at the stage of music appreciation that I was in when those games were popular, the fucking old-timey, like, hard rock and metal of, the, like, that kind of sound just didn't do it for me.
Oh,
it
see,
like,
that's what does it for
me. It was really
me.
Intimidating.
That's
so,
what does it for me.
So Rock Band's more pussy alternative shit, and I was just like, yeah, that, I like that.
And see, that's also...
Panic at the Disco, sign me up.
That's also why I didn't like Rock Band, is because part of the reason I love Guitar Hero is it helped me learn, like, the songs that my dad was always trying to get us to, like, really love. And it introduced me to, like, some of my favorite classic rock songs ever that I'll just be like, oh, I know that from Guitar Hero. And, like, you know, it'll pop into my head, or I'll be like, oh, that's a good song, you know?
Do you remember the song Lay Down by Priestess?
I feel like I...
The... Lay down with my...
Yeah, I do.
That was my fucking favorite. That was my pocket pick every time we did Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. Specifically was that song, because it was incredible.
If we were doing two, it was Sweet Child of Mine. If we were doing three, well, no, Rock the 80s was Monkey Wrench or Ballroom Blitz. Those were the ones I really
liked. Ballroom Blitz. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
That was a good one on the game. That was a pretty good one.
Oh, my God.
But no, I really miss that game, and I want to play it so bad, but I can't do it anywhere. Except for, like, random arcades will have it. But the calibration kind of sucks.
It's not the same.
Yeah, and, like, it's not the
same because it's not yours.
Yeah, it's
and
so much better.
That.
Yeah, you
I
come home and
that.
You just have it, and it's just like, this is exactly what I want. This is perfect.
Have you ever heard of Clone Hero?
What?
Okay, hear me out. So... It's not Guitar Hero, but any wired Guitar Hero guitar works, right? And it's a computer game. You get it on your computer. You pop the fucking USB in, and it's literally Guitar Hero everything, but with any song you can think of that somebody's made a fucking riff sheet for. But they do. There's a lot of fucking songs. So, like, if you wanted to do a fucking Ben Folds song, I guarantee you there's a fucking legendary, like, expert fucking tier goddamn Ben Folds Guitar Hero fucking song.
That's interesting.
It's sick. Because they even had Thank You Scientist, and nobody listens to them except me. And I didn't make it, which is crazy. And so they had a Thank You Scientist, the fucking, the crazy guitar riff one that I think I showed you.
Where
it's fucking insane.
Yeah,
my brother got Clone Hero, and so he popped that in. I was like, no way, it's fucking on there. I like look it up, you know. There's a little bit of ASMR for you. What would it sound like? There you go, something
it's
like
not
that.
Far off.
Yeah, it's kind of close. And then it was like, oh shit, there's Thank You Scientist. They got it. And then I was, even though I'm famously fucking abysmal, I'm not good. So I was like, right, with all the fucking cringe shit. So I just went into the settings and turned that off. So I'm just fucking playing my heart out, trying my best, getting every note wrong.
God.
But everyone that I did get, it's like, you got a point for. So I'm like, wee!
See, I would love to play Guitar Hero with you, but you would play bass. And I would play
That's
lead
what
guitar.
I would do. If I wasn't singing or playing the drums, which I fucking flew on the drums.
Well, but that's also, like, not the important part for me at all. I actually don't want either of those. I just want the guitars.
I love playing the bass.
I don't want the mic, and I don't want the drums. Give me just two guitars and I'll be happy. Like, that's all I need.
Did I tell you about me playing the bass at the party?
Well, of course you did.
Oh, well.
You told me like four times because you were so excited.
Well, I didn't tell the audience.
Do you want to tell the story, Tyler?
Yeah, I'll tell it real quick.
Okay.
So we were at a fucking rager. It was on the 1 month anniversary of my sobriety, and it was at a log cabin. It was at a house in the middle of the woods.
This house, let me just, for the audience.
It went
this
through
house
a lot of different
has gone
descriptions.
Through a lot of different descriptions where he was like, y'all ready to go to a mansion party? And then here he is being like, so it was this log cabin in the woods.
So I was sold. The guy who invited me was like, it's a mansion. I rented a mansion for the weekend. It's fucking dope. Come to my mansion. I was like, shit, fuck, bro. Like, you don't got to ask me twice. That sounds like fun as fuck. And so we roll up, and it is not a mansion. It is just a house. It's just a house. It's a nice house, but it's a house. And it's a party house, but a party house. Not a party mansion. It's a house. And so it was a great place, and we had a lot of fun. But, man, the bar was amazing. And they had a stage with a bunch of instruments. And it was just kind of like free use, like, come in and take it, you know, smoke them if you got them, right? And so Tanner and I, who used to play in a band together and also have, we do duo stuff where he'll play guitar and I'll sing when we go to open mic nights, which we're trying to get back into. Tanner's like, you want to hit a set? And I was like, dude, what do we got in the pocket? And we were like, this, this, and this. And so we go up there and we start hitting it. And Tanner learned Arcadian Wild for me too, which I thought was so sweet.
Aww.
So yeah, I got to sing Anthem of Mr. Dark and get everyone to sing along with me. It was fun as fuck. And so, so we do our bit. Now, the funny part about that whole party is there was this ongoing meme, unintentionally, mind. It'd be one thing if they knew what they were doing, but they didn't. Every fucking party guest came up to me at one point or another, and there were probably, like, about 40 people probably came through those doors through the duration of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was coming up to me, and they're just like, dude, do you play bass? And I'm like, no, I sing. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, dude, you're the bassist, right? No, I'm not. I'm the singer. Oh, well, fuck off. Hey, man, do you play bass? And it's like, Jesus Christ, people. I'm not kidding. Fucking everybody was asking me if I play bass. When will you wear wigs? Mr. Woods. And so I'm just sitting here losing my mind. So we do everything. Candace, who does not play the drum set but plays percussion, hops on the drums and just says, fuck it, let's figure some shit out.
Yeah, I forgot she did percussion in high school.
Which was fucking awesome. And she's killing it on the drum set.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Doing percussion and then jumping onto a drum set, it's not the same thing.
But it's in the vein.
It's in the same, like, wheelhouse, you know? Yeah.
And so so she's playing the drums. My brother's playing guitar. This fucking random person's singing. And, you know, my voice is completely done. It's shot. It's dead. It's fucked. I can't do any more singing. So, but I want to be a part of the band. So I'm like, all right, give me the bass.
Oh my God.
So they give me the bass and I'm like, okay. The cool thing about bass is it's just mostly it's like a cut, three notes repeating, right? Yeah. So I'm listening really closely and you know that I've got decent an ear for like notes, right?
Yeah.
And I'm good with like harmonies and shit. So I was like, okay. Okay, I think I got it. And they're just like, what? And so they start playing, and it's like, and I'm just going, and I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing strumming it like I'm strumming. I was doing the whole finger pick thing. No, none of you can see what I'm doing, but I look like I've never played the bass before. And so I'm sitting here playing, and I was like, oh my God, I'm playing the bass. Right? Just playing the same fucking notes. And I'm so excited. And they're like, do a little slap. And I was like, right? And I like fucking smack the thing, and it does not sound right. And I was having a blast. But it was competent. And I was shocked and appalled because I don't music well. But I have been thinking about picking up the saxophone. Because I feel like that'd be pretty cool.
I have wanted to play saxophone since I was 11.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I was, we had decided I was going to be in band. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool. I'm excited. I want to be in band. And I was like, I want to play the saxophone. And they said, that's hilarious. Because I was like 2.5 feet tall, and they were like, you can't play the saxophone. And I was like, but I want to play the saxophone.
You gotta do a Barry sax, the one that's fucking like
the
4.5 feet.
The gigantic saxophone. Yeah. They were like, no, you can't do that. And I was like, I can just like, you know, rest it. Like, you know, if it's really that big, I can rest it on the floor. Like the little end of it on
the floor. Saxophone on the
floor. Then I can just like play it. And they were like, yeah, but like, then you have to carry that every single day, that gigantic saxophone. And I was just like, but I won't play it.
I feel like y'all are being haters, yeah.
But I want to play it. And they were like, no. Let's find you a smaller instrument. Hence why I ended up playing the flute. And I loved playing the flute. I still remember everything about playing the flute.
You fit the mold for a flautist like a model. Because there are stereotypes in band.
Yes, there are.
And you are the flute stereotype.
What is the flute stereotype?
Next question.
Tell me what the flute stereotype is.
You.
No, tell me what it is.
Nope.
You must tell me what it is.
It's more of an energy, right? It's okay. Like, it's like, you're like, I'm a, and I'm like, you don't even have to say it. It's flute. It's fucking obviously flute, right? So, like, I'll go through, I'll save flute for last.
So that you can think of it because you didn't actually have anything for it?
Yep. No. Flutes were always the, almost exclusively girls, for starters, mm-hmm. right? I knew one guy who played the flute. So they're pretty much exclusively girls. And then there's two subcategories for the flautists, right? They're either A, really, really quiet, very shy, very unassuming, very leave me alone, very like, oh yeah, I'd like to go to the party, right? Like that's column A, right? Column B is, fuck you, I'm playing the flute, right? Like, hey, like big fuck you energy, I'm playing the flute, I'm here to hit this music thing, let's make it happen. And those are the two types of flautists that I've met.
There is also a third option, which is the girl that wanted to be in band, didn't want to play clarinet, and isn't good at the flute. Because I also knew those girls. Who, like, there were, because I feel like the A and B categories can include that girl in both.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, there were the quiet, good players.
Mm-hmm.
There were the me, good players that were very, like, aggressive about how good they were. Mm-hmm. And were like, I'm sorry, you demoted me from first chair because I got braces, even though I relearned my embouchure in 24 hours. Go fuck yourself.
Not that you're still mad about it.
I am mad about it. Miss Ferris, I'm talking to you. I'm mad.
I was not expecting that. That was so good.
She did not deserve Ms. that Ferris. Chair. Ugh. Morgan, looking at you for taking my chair and then asking me all semester about how to play your damn solos.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's looking amazing. At you.
No.
Fuck me.
13-year-old me has some healing to do in that category. But there were those categories, and then there was the girl that was just there, who did not know what she was doing. She was always, like, later in the chairs, and just kind of was, like, barely playing because she didn't know how to do it, and when she did try, it wasn't good. So it was, like, the girl who was just, like, ha, 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 the whole time, and it was, and the people that were, like, me were, like, can you please get your shit together?
Yeah.
Like, we have a concert in a week.
I want to go, I'm curious, this has nothing to do with video games, but I'm curious
We've been off of video games for a minute.
But I'm curious what your thoughts are on the other stereotypes for the band.
Oh, well, okay.
What's the clarinet stereotype?
Oh, clarinet stereotype is the most...
Say it, because if you don't, I will.
That was about to be really, this is going to sound really mean. This is not, like, necessarily what I think. This is just the category that most of the clarinet players I knew tended to fall into.
Isolate it into one word and we'll extrapolate. And we're going to say it at the same time. I'm pretty sure we're going to get this fucking right.
One, two, three.
Weirdos.
Mid.
Oh, shit! Followed by weirdos. Holy fuck. So out of pocket. The fucking flute clarinet feud continues.
Oh my god. No.
Explain yourself right now.
I forget. Were you in band? Did you
play clarinet? I was the clarinet! I played clarinet! That's why I can say that they're weirdos. Because I was one. So, mid. Fuck you.
So here's what I...
Yeah, have fun with this one.
No, okay. So there was usually, at least for me, both in middle school band and so mostly I'm talking about middle school band.
Uh-huh.
In high school band, it was a little different.
Right.
So in middle school band, there was maybe one good clarinet player.
Mm-hmm,
everybody sure. else was ass. And it was just like, you know, very Squidward on his clarinet kind of vibe, and like we were always just like every time a clarinet solo came up, everyone kind of like collectively winced a little bit. Now in high school, it was better, But there were still only, like, two really good clarinet players.
But you're talking about skill. What about there's a personality. There's a type of personality that clarinet players tend to be. I know what it is. Because I embodied it for many years. I'm curious if you had the same experience.
I don't think we did, because for us, or maybe we did. So the reason I said mid is not because the actual people themselves were mid, but rather where they fell on, like, so I was just talking to Samuel today because he was asking me, we were listening to the song Beautiful from Heathers, and he was asking me, in those, like, shows and movies and stuff, how accurate was it, like, because he was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him most movies and shows, like Heathers as an example, show you more what it felt like mm-hmm. than what it actually was. Mm. Because obviously, you know, it's not actually everyone turning and staring at you as you walk down a hallway. But as someone who was taken in by some more popular girls, mm-hmm. I did feel very much like Veronica in that song, walking out and being like, people see me now. This is great, you know? And so, like, you know, there was that feeling of suddenly I exist and that's awesome. Yes?
No, I was just checking.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so with clarinet players, the reason, or at least part of the reason I said mid, is because that's kind of where they fell in the tier of, like,
on the totem pole of skill.
On the totem pole of, like, popularity in school. Oh, usually it was like, there's the really popular people, there's the really untouchables, and then there's the clarinet players who are kind of just smack in the middle. Like, you're popular enough where people will talk to you, but you're definitely not up towards the top, and you're just there in the middle.
We had different fucking clarinets, because I will tell you, the freaks come out at night on the clarinet side of things. Let me tell you something right now. The clarinet people that I had was privileged, and I talk a lot of shit, but it's lovingly. The clarinet people that I was privileged to hang with were all, for the most part, there were three standouts. And you know who you are, because y'all were all right. The rest of us were just wacky, weird, fucking outcasts that found a home together in playing the clarinet.
Well, and I guess that's the difference with me is both of my schools, it was the people that everybody just kind of, everyone was aware that they existed, mm-hmm. you know? They were on the radar.
Sure.
They weren't super popular. Kind of where I was in, like, that vein of, like, people know who I am.
Yeah.
They don't really care, but they know I exist.
Right,
and,
right.
And it was kind of people who were in that vein, but they were from all different, like, areas of just other things in school. Like, you know, random other clubs and what they excelled in and all of that. Mm-hmm. And you just essentially took, like, the middle popularity tier from every club and then just threw them in a section and gave them an instrument. That's and facts. They and that was the clarinet, like, section.
That's facts. So, saxophone players fuck. They just do.
Well, because they have some the weird fucking, saxophone they have players. A fucking sexy-ass instrument. Of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, they like, they're the people who can properly wield the saxophone and the people who can't.
And the people who couldn't were really sad.
Really, really sad.
Really sad.
The people who could, they fuck. They fuck. Trombones, they were always... The trombones were always the quiet, chill people.
Very quiet, very chill, and sometimes...
Always great conversationalists, but they're always kind of like in the background. Well, like... Great conversationalists in the sense that you have to evoke it from them, but if you approach them and say, hey, what do you think about this? They'll give you this really, like, thoughtful, in-depth answer about whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to get that from them. Trumpets have two subcategories. They're either A, I eat, sleep, and breathe music.
Yeah, and they're really good.
And they're fucking phenomenal.
Or
they're the obnoxious kid in class who thinks they're the class clown and aren't.
Yes.
And they are just bothering
people. And they're just super extra. And then when they play, it's like, bah! And it's just like, okay, guys, please stop.
It's like, all right, all right, all right. Knock it off.
Yeah, that's very accurate, where it was like, yes, very, very much so. Percussion were just, like, the people in the back that were always making jokes with each other and, like...
They were their own unit.
They were their own country. A lot, like, yeah. Like, back there. We were all doing our shit, and then there were...
Oftentimes, stoners.
Most times, mm-hmm. they were. They'd be mm-hmm. back there just like, you know, fucking shit up with each other. They all have their weird little jokes, and we're all just like, what the fuck you doing back there?
And they're like, almost... They're always really good.
That was what always shocked me, is
they,
like...
They were always on
None
point.
Of them sucked. They were all really good. And I was... And so I was always just like, what the fuck is going... What are these guys smoking? Like, yeah. Should I get on it?
And can I have some? That's fucking crazy. French horns. Always, big time academic scholar nerd.
Always the super nerd was on the French horn. Yeah. Always super nerd. Yeah.
A lot of times it's like, you know, oh, my, you know, I taught my son how to play the piano so that he could be a genius. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, like, when the piano doesn't work, they graduate to French horn. And they're in, like, their fucking, like, Excel classes, and they always have straight A's, and they're just fucking brilliant. Little on the antisocial side.
Yeah.
But very talented. Were the French horns. I'm trying to think.
We got
of
two
else.
More that I can think of, which is, first one's oboe. Did y'all have an oboe player?
We had one oboe player. We didn't have, like, the oboe section.
We had, I think, like, two, maybe three. Mm-hmm. And, it was one girl.
It was the fusion dance between the fucking flute and the clarinet.
Kinda.
Like, the aspects of the flautist and the aspects of the clarinet players would, like, do the fusion dance, and then boom, and now you have an oboe player, and you're like, what the fuck?
We had one girl that was super quiet and, like, you know, very antisocial, and, like, she was okay at it, and then we had one girl that was really good at it. She was, like, one of those, you know, when you're not, like, you're not popular, but you're popular, and somehow it almost doesn't make sense because you're also a big-time nerd.
Yeah.
Like, that was our, like, first chair oboe player. Yeah. It's like, she wasn't top-tier popular, but she was higher than
there
most others.
There was some prestige with our oboe player.
Yeah, where, she, like, she was still pretty popular, and she was just good at just, like, being herself, and people liked her. And I remember I was always just like, what's that like? Like, that was
what
nice.
At? Can I play the oboe?
And then tuba.
The tuba. Always large, fluffy teddy bears. Super sweet, super kind.
Super sweet. Sometimes a little weird.
A little white nighty. They can get
very
a little white nighty.
So. Just a little bit.
Not always, but they can. You know who you are. But typically, like, the super loyal friends who, like, you know, once you show them a little bit of love and kindness, they're glued to your side, and you're just like, okay, I've got a tuba friend forever.
Now, for marching band, everything changes, but, but, because that's a whole different animal.
What other sections are we missing? We got the trumpets, we got the trombones, we got the fucking, the reeds.
I mean, we pretty much got everything.
What else makes up a band?
I feel like that's pretty much it, dude.
There's never any strings.
Yeah, because that's orchestra.
Yeah.
I feel like that was pretty much it.
Cool.
Anyway, that's on our video game podcast.
So, and then here's how I'm going to tie everything together before we wrap it up, because I got to get moving.
Well, I did have one thing I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say this, and then we'll hit that.
Okay.
So there's
it'll be putting you on the spot, but it's putting me more on the spot, so be ready.
There is a video game. Called Trombone, it's like Trombone Champ, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's like Guitar Hero, but it's with the trombone.
How do you do that?
It's a, you use your mouse.
Oh, I was picturing, like, the same thing with a Guitar Hero guitar, but with a
trombone.
With
a fucking trombone. So, you have your mouse, and imagine there's, like, a bar, right? Imagine
okay.
There's a bar on the far left side of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's right to left, right? The notes come at you. And you use the mouse to slide it up and down so that you're in position, right?
Oh, I see.
So if the note goes here and then, like, drops down, and then you have to click it when you hit it, and it's right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's never on pitch. So it's like, it's close. It's close.
Oh, no.
And you can get perfect at it, but you have to be perfect. So because it's a slider, if you're off by a little bit, it'll be like, like, they have the mariachi song that and like right, and it's ass, and it has been a very long time since I've laughed that hard at watching someone play a video game, and I am desperately trying to figure out how I can get it on a computer and then take it in and show you guys.
That would be so funny,
cuz it is fucking hilarious.
To be fair, that is also just how actual trombones are. If you don't hit perfectly in the position, yeah, you are off, and it will sound as such.
Yes, it's incredible. All right, so put me on the spot. What okay, you got?
So, I wanted to see what would happen if you throw at me just a few, like, story, like, the like video games that do have a plot, and I make up what the plot is, having never played the game.
Oh, shit.
So actual video games that have plots, something that you know, probably I haven't heard of, but probably a lot of other people have.
Okay.
And I'm going to do my best to come up with the plot. And give me just like
a little set the stage for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like the genre, you know, something like that.
The post-apocalyptic action RPG Fallout.
Okay. I have heard of this, but I don't know the plot. So,
one of my favorite games of all time.
I think you wake up kind of Walking Dead style, and you put on like a suit, like a hazmat suit, because otherwise you'll die on the planet.
Okay.
And you have to, you have to, I gotta think.
You got it. Stay with it.
I'm staying with it. And you have to become a creature that can breathe because you're on limited air supply in the suit. And so you have to go and find essentially like a doctor who can make a genetic mutation to turn you into something that can breathe in the atmosphere.
Okay, what I have is centuries following a nuclear war, a teen leaves the safety of an underground vault in order to find their father, who left in hopes of creating a water purifier. So basically, okay. Well, and that's Fallout 3, right? The premise okay. of Fallout's the franchise. Fallout yeah. 3 specifically is, all of Fallout is nuclear war happened and everything's fucked, right?
Okay.
You can breathe. There are spots, radiation and radiation sickness is a big component in the game.
Okay.
If you go, like, there are areas that are, like, really heavily irradiated, and as you get close, you start to see the meter, and as the meter fills up, you take more. It's like points of exhaustion in D&D.
Okay.
Right? It's like, oh, it's filling up, I'm fine, and then it crosses over, and you have minor radiation sickness, and it's like, okay, I have this debuff, and then advance whatever, and then it keeps going until you fucking straight up die from radiation exposure. Yeah. Which is really cool. It's a fun mechanic. And so, everything's irradiated. You can, like, live in the open atmosphere, but everything's desolated, and it's all scrounging and scraping together what little remains of the world that once was.
Okay.
To make some kind of civilization and survive in your own way. And Fallout 3 is fucking goated because it's got an incredible story about, like, your life in the vault. And these vaults are these big fucking underground... Why are we getting in the weeds?
Yeah,
this
I don't know.
This is supposed to be rapid fire. I'm so fucking sorry. Okay.
Get in the weeds about David Pumpkins.
Yeah, fucking for real. I'm trying to think of another game that I have that's just super in the pot. Oh, Hades.
Hades? Oh.
Hades.
Okay. Genre?
Roguelike.
Roguelike. Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh. I don't know what that means, but okay. I am assuming you play as Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And
I will say, it is set in... like Greece with the mythology. It's not okay. like a stand-in for some other shit.
Okay, well, I think you play as Hades,
mm-hmm.
and you are trapped in your underworld, and you are essentially, like, part of the game is you escape the underworld, and now you are trying to blend in with the common folk until you can find Persephone.
That's fucking real goddamn close.
Is it really?
That's really fucking close.
Holy shit!
you play as Hades' son, Zagreus.
Oh, okay.
Persephone is gone, right? Persephone's been gone. And she left when you were born.
Okay.
The longest time you thought she died in childbirth, and the game starts with you realizing she's alive. But to see her, and you're gonna see her, you have to escape hell.
Oh, so it's... Oh, shit!
And so, and it's literally that. And so the whole game is about breaking out of Hades. And then you go, you see her, but you can't survive outside of Hades because you're the son of the Lord of the Underworld. So you have maybe like 5 minutes to talk with her, and then you get sucked back in. So you have to keep escaping so you can talk to her and figure everything out and unravel the plot.
Okay.
And all the gods, because it's what's called a roguelike, which is where you try it over and over and over again, and every time it's different.
Oh.
And so
I didn't know that
Hades
that's what
is
that
like
meant.
A labyrinth that always changes, so all the rooms are going to be different. Okay. And then the Greek gods, the pantheon, will give you boons that at the end of every room that you clear, it'll give you a type of boon where it'll give you a power up.
Oh,
so
that's
like,
cool.
You know, Zeus gives you lightning powers. Fucking Poseidon gives you like it makes everybody drunk and they take damage over time. Fucking
Poseidon makes everybody drunk.
I meant
Dionysus?
Fucking Dionysus. Poseidon gives you water like knockback stuff with the waves, like push people back.
I was about to say, I don't think Poseidon is the drinking
super not
god.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Whoops. Motherfucking. What do you think Skyrim's plotline is?
You already told me the whole plot line.
You're right.
you sat here and talked about it for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. All right. How about, do you know anything about Jedi Fallen Order?
So I know a little bit. I know that your big boy enemy is like the Inquisitor bitch. And then at the end, Vader shows up and kills you, right?
Okay.
Isn't Vader
does show up at the end. He does not kill you. Because then there wouldn't be a sequel. But yeah, it's fucking super cool.
I know that because of Samuel.
There's a really good one.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I mean, yes, basically.
Yeah.
Inquisitor bitch, Jedi, you know, Fallen Order, whatever. BioShock. It is a how do I explain this? 1940s steampunk adjacent. It's like steampunk meets Art Deco.
I'm not sure what Art Deco is.
Oh, it's like the 1920s. It's like the most beautiful art style ever. Hold on. I'll show you.
I've heard of BioShock, obviously, because, you know, working at Second and Charles, I learned most just like names of video games. Oh, like the Great Gatsby. Side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's like so it's steampunk meets Great Gatsby, but dark and scary.
Okay. Oh gosh. Well, BioShock makes me think that it has something to do with like nuclear or genetic something. And if it's in a steampunk kind of setting, like set in the past, I'm gonna assume it was in the beginnings of learning about DNA, and that you play as a doctor who, like, is trying to stop a doctor who has tried to create a bad, like, essentially, like, a sketchy genetic strain that he wants to, like, infuse into the populace, and you're trying to stop him.
Holy fucking shit. So, definitely a little further off than Hades, but, like, still in the same idea just off of that information.
Okay.
It's pretty fucking impressive. So, there's this guy, Andrew Ryan, and he built a city underwater called Rapture.
Okay.
And it's a full fucking underwater city, and it's this fucking utopia. And the whole thing is like free market capitalism. Do whatever the fuck you want. Do whatever the fuck you want. And so the scientists, all the best brilliant thinkers of everywhere, come together to live their life in this fucking free place.
Untrocked. Got it.
Big time inspiration.
Understood.
Big time inspiration. They all come together, and one of the scientists develops Adam. Based off of this, there's like a sea fucking floor mollusk or some shit that releases a special chemical. He turns it into Adam, which augments your body to do all kinds of crazy shit. So you inject yourself with Adam, now you can shoot fire or lightning or do whatever. And you have all these powers, but they're used in day-to-day life because no one's at war, right? The problem is, too much of that shit and you start to go fucking insane. Now,
okay.
Everybody's addicted to it, everybody's insane, and all hell is breaking loose. Your character then comes in after all hell has broken loose. So it was a once beautiful fucking utopian place where everything's like flooded and the lights are flickering and people are hiding in the shadows trying to fucking kill you. And you got to grab items, grab the atom to be, despite knowing that it's probably going to fuck you up, because you need to be able to survive and do a thing.
Yeah.
And it's very fucking awesome.
Okay.
Okay, let's do one more.
Yeah,
that
one
was
last
badass.
One.
That was pretty badass, I will say. Okay. All right, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know much about it, but obviously I assume there's an assassin.
And he follows a creed. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
No, so, I don't know anything about, like, a setting or anything.
So, yeah. I didn't tell you anything. So, Assassin's Creed, I'll say Back to the Past, to... well, okay. Okay. I won't do all that craziness. It's a period piece game.
Okay.
Each game in the series is a different period in time.
Okay.
It's because I don't want to spoil anything. It's a period piece, and you play as a person in a secret society.
Okay. So I will pick, so there are multiple games. I'll say that maybe one plot line.
What's the overarching plot?
Oh, there's an overarching plot?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think if they're all in different times, that this secret society has mastered either immortality or the ability to be reincarnated. And so there is one, essentially you play as the same character, whether or not that means that the character is immortal and so they have carried over, or if they have been reincarnated in, and it's the same soul in a new body. And that they, when they come up, like because I do think that it is placed at like certain periods. Mm-hmm. And so when that period comes, whether they're immortal or reincarnated at that point in time, they have a mission to, in the secret society, they have to, essentially, I will say, let's pull a bring a balance to the force. They have to, wherever the scales have been tipped or unbalanced in the world, like politically in people of power, they send their person, their assassin guy, to go and kill that person.
Okay. So... a little off.
I figured.
but there were some concepts that are similar.
Okay.
So the game starts proper in like maybe 10, 15 years from now. There's this new technology by this company, this big corporation that owns everything. It's like fucking Microsoft, basically. And there's a new technology where you play called the Animus, where they take people, they plug them into the Animus, and by scanning your DNA, it can trace your lineage all the way back thousands, like hundreds of years into the past, and relive experiences and memories encoded in your DNA from that person.
That's cool.
And so that you're some random fucking guy off the street that they're just like, hey, like, we'll pay you a lot of money, come over here, fucking plug yourself into the Animus, and come to find out he was one of the most influential assassins in the Order of Assassins, right? Which, like, assassins is an actual group of people. We're the assassins, right? And they're fighting the Templars during the Crusades. That's when that group got started. So the very first game is about during the Crusades. The assassins are these high-level fucking group of people where the Templars just have sheer numbers and resources they can throw at shit. You're all about sneaking around and getting a jump on the fucking captains and taking them out, right? Okay. And so... you end up realizing the overarching plot is that they're grabbing these different people, the Abstergo company, which has the Animus, they're taking these different people so that they can find out where this major fucking, like, world-ending artifact is, like, world-controlling, world-dominating artifact is, and the assassins are the only ones that know it, and these people don't know that they have assassin blood in them. But as they start to realize things that are unfolding, by living out the memories of that assassin, mm-hmm. they then get the powers of that assassin, and then they have to be cool fucking Assassin Creed fuckers in present day. So it's this back and forth between modern and previous, and it's very fun.
Okay. Very That's pretty cool.
It's a neat concept. That is going to just about do it. Let's go ahead and spin this wheel. It's glitching out.
Wait, what on earth? What is happening?
Stay with it. All right. What's happening?
Yeah, refresh it. See, there it goes. We go. Okay.
All right, video games is out. Out.
So it's is G-O. Cursed Love.
Oh, whatever.
Wow.
That's amazing. Y'all can't see it, but the spinner wheel is having a fucking moment, dude. Cursed Love. Let's go. Pets! Wait.
What?
Do you want to do what we talked about next?
What we talked about.
Okay. The Try Not to Laugh Challenge.
Are we doing that for a full episode?
I'd love to. I promise you we will have content for it. All right. Tune in. Next episode is gonna be a little doozy.
I'm very scared.
It's going to be an episode where Danielle and I step into the ring for a knockdown, drag out, no holds barred competition where we have an official try not to laugh challenge.
Oh boy.
Everything. So the rules of the game is that everything's got to be something that we can read.
You can't read.
Oh, fuck. All right, we'll do the pets episode. Fuck it. No, it's going to be something that we can read to each other.
Okay.
As stupid as making a fucking silly noise or something where it's like I'm reading broken English or whatever, right? Something that we could read, audio-based comedy humor, right?
Okay.
So be it you reading it or playing something, whatever. And we take turns going back and forth trying to make the person laugh. And if you laugh, then, you know, and excelling air, like there's like, we'll have rules where it has to be like a, right. Where like an actual laugh as opposed to just like, you know what I mean? Like that's not a laugh. And it's just going to be a back and forth, no holds barred to see who can be the funniest fucker.
Oh, no.
And who has the highest constitution. I don't have a very high constitution with laughter.
I also don't, but I'm so scared that, like, I know one thing I can bring in that will make you laugh.
Okay.
Because as soon as you said it, I was like, this is gonna be the one thing that I know I'll get.
Yeah.
Everything else, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, the good news is you have a week to prepare.
Yes.
And come ready to fucking tussle, because it's gonna be intense and it's gonna be really fun. Intense, just like camping. Intense.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
See, I love how you laughed before realizing what it was.
Because
like,
you just said intense, and I was like, why is he saying intense again? Like, okay.
Intense. It's like intense. It's intense. Just like camping. Anywho. Guys, thank you so much thank you so much for listening. We love you guys very much. All of your time means the world to us. Big shout out to some of our friends who take the time to listen to us, who are really, really awesome. I know one of which has her own podcast, so I'll go ahead and
shout her out.
We have a dear friend, Mimi Bobo. That is a real name. I'm not making this up. And give her, guys, do us the favor of listening to some of the best, what would you call it? Interviewing based podcast.
Yeah. It's like interview based conversational.
She is a fucking phenomenal, interviewer and gets some really, really deep conversation. The two of us are on it.
Yeah.
But our episodes haven't dropped yet, but
they will be dropping soon though.
Check out What Your Mimi Never Told You. That's What Your Mimi Never Told You. It's a podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts are found, but do it through Spotify and give her a listen. I know she'll really appreciate it, and we'll appreciate you guys giving her a listen. So outside of that, we've got Next to Normal stuff coming up, which is pretty neat. So if you guys are local and in the Atlanta, Kennesaw-esque area,
Cartersville
specifically, be on the lookout, because in March you'll see both of us on stage singing and yelling at each other. It's gonna be a fucking blast. It's also one of my favorite musicals ever.
Me too.
So this is super important. Really good. With all that being said,
what a great review for Next to Normal. Super important, really good.
Yeah, it's all of those things. Guys, we love you very much. Thank you for the listen. Thanks for stopping by. And in the meantime, I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been...
Off Topic.
Unfocused. Bye-bye.
Bye.